It is 7:45, time for our weekly chat with Tom Ackerman, the sports director of KMOX. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We've got lots to talk about, games plus golf and everything. I want to start with the Masters, though. This is kind of the first tournament that everyone tunes into of the year, and it usually doesn't disappoint. And yesterday was spectacular. A lot of cool shots made. Scottie Scheffler has one shot lead. He, of course, came in as the favorite. Do you think one of the ones behind him can catch him, or is Scottie going to take this thing?
I think it's going to be a great finish. I think, you know, if you look at the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau with an amazing shot yesterday from 77 yards out to keep himself in contention, that should charge him up. I think if you look at that group, DeChambeau could give them a little bit of trouble. Scheffler is just so consistent, though. The thing is, it's the golf course is the star of this thing. Always has been, always will be. It's the finest golf course in the world, and it is one of the most difficult. And I think that Scheffler versus the golf course will be one story. Can he take home the green jacket? Morikawa, one of the greatest iron players in the world, will he be able to settle his ball on the green in what could be tough conditions again as the course starts to harden? It's harder to stick the ball on the green, so Morikawa's iron play will come into play here. Max Homa is a great player. Now, he's only two shots off the lead. Can he take home a major? And the pressure of Sunday, will that get to any of these players on this list? You know, Xander Schauffele is always a top 10 player. He is 2 under, but he's never won a major. And I think it's fair to question, in Schauffele's case, what happens on Sundays at majors that he's not able to come through. Now, he's got a steep hill to climb here. He's five shots behind Scheffler. But, you know, it's just a difficult thing to navigate on a day like this. So I always go for the more experienced players. I would say that it's between Scheffler, Morikawa, and DeChambeau, with Homa just two shots back, certainly capable of winning. It's just going to be difficult to overcome Scheffler, but we'll see.
And one other name I'm going to throw in there, Ludvig Åberg, the 24-year-old Swedish player who played at Texas Tech. That kid's good. Now,
yeah.
I know you're talking about experience. Yeah, I get that. But he's right there, and he's playing well. So he could be a star emerging.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, certainly. There are a lot of good ones in there. There's no doubt. He's only three shots back. So we'll see how it goes.
I may have placed some bets on the Masters.
All right, well, look, you got to do it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Cardinals. They are in last place, technically. I mean, it's way early, obviously. And the division is kind of upside down from what we might have thought it would be, because we were talking about the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Reds. But at the top, the Brewers and the Pirates. So what's your assessment of the season so far? What's your level of concern for the Cards?
Well, it's very early in the season, so the Brewers and the Pirates will come back down to earth. I mean, there's no way that those two are going to lead the division all year. So it's going to start to turn around. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Central, everybody has a winning record but the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 7-8. Cubs and Reds are both 8-6. They're just fine. I think that they're about where I thought they would be, and I think the Brewers and Pirates are way ahead of where we thought they would be. But, you know, I've talked about this many times, and I've heard many people who have been around the game a lot longer than me say this very thing, that sometimes the teams that aren't very good when the year is over, they get off to hot starts because those players are out playing and they don't know any better. I mean, they're out there just playing ball, man, trying to win this thing. Over time, it just sort of evens itself out, and I just would highly doubt that those two would stay on top. As for the Cardinals, you know, my concern is offense. You know, we could sit there and harp on the fact that Kyle Gibson gave up a home run in the sixth inning, but the Cardinals only scored two runs. You know, they've got to be able to manufacture runs. They've got to be able to, when they get people on base, not make mistakes, run the bases better. And, you know, I'm not too concerned yet about Nolan Arenado. He hit a bomb on Friday. I think that he's been just fine. I think Paul Goldschmidt certainly needs to get things going, too. Both of those are the best two players on this team. And right now, you know, you've got Goldschmidt hitting .208. Now, he did have a couple of hits yesterday. And Arenado had another hit yesterday, and his average is up to .274. You want to see them start to get on a bit of a tear. Jordan Walker, I think, is too young to sit there and say that he has to be a producer in the middle of the order, but he is hitting 182. He's in his second year. So my concern is offense. You know, Victor Scott is a terrific defensive player, but he's hitting 098. You know, at some point, you've got to be able to get this lineup firing and get it to where it needs to be. I don't think the starting pitching has been all that bad. I mean, Gibson gave up a home run. But for the most part, this starting staff is doing what they're asked to do. They're going six. They're going seven. They're throwing pitches. I mean, Gibson threw 95 pitches yesterday. He threw 94 and 94 the games before that. Even in the game where he was really bad, where he gave up six runs in the first inning, he still went six. So I think the rotation is okay. And I think it's been able to keep this thing afloat, but they've got to be able to score some runs. And in fairness, aside from the Marlins, they've played some pretty tough competition. I mean, they have played the Dodgers and Padres on the road. They played the Phillies at home. Now they play the Diamondbacks on the road. It's not the easiest schedule to navigate, but no excuses. You've got to get the job done. You're the St. Louis Cardinals, and many believe that you're good enough to win this division, so you got to go do it.
Yeah, and there are 147 games left. So, but yeah, at the beginning of the season, the thought was, well, the pitching is what we're concerned about, and now it's the offense. But those things go in cycles, especially on the offensive side.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I will say, you're right. I mean, it is April, and you know, you could very well be sitting here in July and August, let's say July 4th, saying, uh-oh, what happened to the pitching? I mean, you know, things can happen, certainly, but for right now, the signs are that this is a durable, stable staff, especially with Sonny Gray rejoining them. It's a big deal. I mean, he just showed you why everybody raves about him. He was phenomenal in that first game against the Phillies. They are going to have to make a decision by trade deadline time. Are they in contention to win a World Series, and should they make the deal to go get a co-ace to go with Sonny? And if that happens, they could take off to another level, but they have to have the offense to supplement that. I think their defense will be fine. They've been making some errors here lately. They did not have an error yesterday. They've got to have a completely healthy team, though. That's hard to ask, but they've got to get healthy, and once they do, I think they'll be fine.
Well, the Blues are eliminated from the playoffs. Today is the final home game. What do you think this team needs to do in the offseason to become a contender again for the Stanley Cup?
Well, they definitely have a lot to do. I mean, they have to figure out their best roster, and they have to figure out their coach, too. I mean, they have not made the decision yet or any announcement on whether Drew Bannister is going to continue on as coach. I'd have to assume that he would be the front runner. He's the interim coach. He knows these young players very well. I think that there are a lot of players right now, even though you're playing a game that doesn't mean anything, they have a lot to prove, and you know they're going to have to show that they can be part of this roster. Now, there are some players that are under major contracts, Thomas, Kyrou. I think Thomas has had a great year. I think Kyrou is a scorer and needs to show that he can continue to be a two-way player. But that's what they need. I mean, they just need more two-way players. They need more buy-in. They need some younger players to continue to grow with this team, because these older players like Shen and Saad and some of these other forwards are not going to be around forever. And one of those players that you identify, now he's going to be out for the rest of the year, but likely, is Jake Neighbors. I think that is a definite positive that you can continue to build around him. I think that it's a team that, you know, could go shopping in the off season, but you know they're limited in what they can do. They can't just go out and spend wildly. But I think it could be a team on the rise if everything works out and they find the right formula.
And as far as City SC goes, they have a rare Sunday game this afternoon, 3:45 at City Park. Going to be a warm one. There are a couple of injuries on the team, so we're just kind of trying to get through this period with the injuries and just survive, and later in the season hope that the team takes another level.
I think this team, the healthy players have got to be able to score. And, you know, Klaus especially, it feels probably like he's snake bit a little bit. I thought that against Dallas, they actually, I know it was a scoreless draw, but they had many, many chances. They were in those so-called dangerous areas against Dallas and just were firing away and nothing was going in. If they continue to play like that, those are going to go in. I mean, I think that the opposite happened last year. I think that City was in dangerous areas and everything went in. I mean, they were just scoring and scoring at will. And that is very rare, and it doesn't really happen at this level of soccer. So I look forward to seeing City start to turn the corner and getting some of those to go their way. If they continue to play like they have been, they're going to get goals. They're going to get wins. They have the best goalkeeper in the business. They have tough, tough players in the middle of the field and on the back end. I think they'll be fine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.